Trevor, why don't you tell us how Fane got its start?
In 2011, 2012, I had just stopped playing with another little band with my friends, and I got bored, I guess, with not playing. From messing with my friends, I kind of got driven to play it some more. So I started my own band again and gave it the name. And I started looking for people around locally, and I found a lineup to get started. I mean, it took a few people to find, but from the drummer and obviously all the members that we're missing currently, and we started playing shows and stuff. But we've actually gone through it. Good amount of people over the past few years.
And it's hard finding new people. I mean, you know, it's hard because a band is like a family, so.
Yeah, especially during, while everyone's going through, you know, transitioning through high school and college and jobs and stuff, it's hard to find people at the time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So how would you consider the new album, which is called New World Order, versus your EP that came out in 2012, False Hope? How do you feel you progressed?
I feel on False Hope, we took a more personal approach lyrically, and we kind of had a little bit more, you know, we wrote that CD a little bit more as a band, I guess, versus the New World Order was a more political approach, and I wrote that most, that album was mostly me. And I personally think the New World Order is pretty much us after hitting puberty after False Hope.
Which would be the next evolution, so.
Yeah, like as a musician, I guess, like as far as our writing process is going, I think we've improved, you know, production quality and writing quality. I think we've done some improvement between those two CDs for sure.
Nice. Now, I being a guitarist myself, and you being a guitarist, I got to ask the obligatory question: what's your gear like? Because your tone is just fucking stellar on New World Order. I mean, it's tight, and I'm assuming you use a 12 string, or not a 12, but a 7 string.
I'm actually using two different guitars on our music. We play in two different tunings. One of the guitars I use is a 7-string Schecter C7 Hellraiser, but I actually went and bought bare knuckle pickups, and I put those in a year or two ago. I think it's a painkiller in the bridge and then a nail bomb in the neck. And then my 8th string that I use for the lower tunings, that's an RG2228 Ibanez.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a pretty... expensive guitar.
Yeah. I love the wizard necks on the Ibes, man.
Yeah, they're super skinny. I love it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Now, bare knuckle, man. Do you like bare? I notice a lot more people are using them. I've never tried any myself because most of my stuff has Duncans in it. But how would you describe bare knuckle? I mean, because they're a new they're a newer company, and they make them. They're hand wound.
Yeah, I'm not sure, man. I mean, I'm not a personal huge gearhead, but when I first heard about them, someone told me about Periphery using them, and I heard Icarus Lives, which was one of their first hits, I guess. And I was like, I mean, given I know they're using production and Axe FX and all that stuff, but I heard him in a few videos and stuff, and I was like in love with his tone, so I asked a few people about it, and I found someone, one of my friends that, you know, kind of, because they have all kinds of different pickups, and they're from the UK, I believe. So, like, you know, it's not like I can go to a store and check it out.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I just had a friend kind of help me choose because he knew what kind of music I was playing. So he knew, like, what pickups to look at, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, your tone has that crystal clear quality as well as a compressed, you know, monstrous distortion. I would have actually assumed you were using EMGs, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I was using, the Schecter has, the 8-string has EMG 808s. Mm-hmm. That does. And then the Schecter has the bare knuckles, but I think it was the mixture of that with, I mean, just all the production quality Robbie did with the Axe FX and all the patches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've got, Fane has a tight melodic sound to it with a heavy groove. With you being a two piece at this point, how hard is it to find three other guys with music this complex?
It's actually very hard. I mean, we've had people have asked, but we've kind of upped our standards. You know, like we're trying to. Our next goal is to get some wheels and tours, so we've kind of like upped our standards as far as people we hire go, and we just haven't found anyone that either has the gear or the experience. You know, a lot of the people asking are mainly people that have never played in bands before. We don't have many people that have that experience that we're looking for asking. And if they are, they're like in a different state or in a different band.
So, well, what's the criteria when you guys, in the process, when you guys find a candidate?
Repeat that?
As far as finding a replacement, in general, what's the criteria that you look for, and then what's the process that you go through, the vetting process?
We'll probably just send some tabs with a track without vocals on it. Just anything to help them hear the instruments or anything. Send them that, and you know, maybe get a video, or if we like them enough, probably just meet up with them. Or tell them to come over and hang out with me just so I can see if, you know, we get along.
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually how we do it. Yeah,
because you're going to be stuck in a van or a bus for weeks, months on end, man. You got to like the guy. So, you know, because that's when you find out where the freaks are. As far as the New World Order, I love the way it opens up with Hatriotism. You know, sure. I mean, you guys have just a way of just like kicking the door down right from the get go. So what are the inspirations and of the songs and the meanings of some of the lyrics? I mean, it sounds like you guys are almost a political band.
Yes, sir. Like I said, False Hope, I wrote all those lyrics were usually more personal. I wrote those on a more day to day, you know, if I was upset about something, I wrote about it and turned it into something like that. I can't really speak as much for NWO because Devin actually wrote a lot of the lyrics for that CD. But I know a couple of songs that I did write from that CD. The ones that I wrote were the more personal ones. The ones that he wrote, he wanted to create a more political approach because he's like really obsessed with like the whole wrestling NWO thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah. New World Order.
He's always liked to mix his, you know, his stuff like that into our music. He liked the, I don't know if you've heard Molotov Solution before, but that was his favorite band, and they always took political approaches to all of their songs lyrically, and he, like, fell in love with that. So I guess that mixed with the whole NWO from, you know, wrestling and stuff, that's what got him started on that.
Now, well, given that this is an election year, what are your thoughts on the political situation in the United States at this time?
Me personally, are you asking about just like anything political right now?
Well, I mean, because it's kind of a make or break year for us with everything that's been going on, you know?
I mean, me and Devin see things differently, but I'm not really sure how to answer that. There's a lot of stuff I can say about that. Not really sure.
Well, you guys are different. Are one of you like for Trump and the other one for Clinton or something? Or
me personally, I'll probably go for Trump before I go for anyone else. I will say that. I think what I see is people bashing someone that he's someone that's saying a lot of what a lot of people are too scared to say. And that's why he has a huge following, I believe.
Mm. Yeah. He says what people are, what a lot of people are thinking, but not willing to say in public.
It's not politically correct. But, I mean, as far as political, the presidential thing goes, I would fucking, you know, vote for Trump because that's the way I see that. I mean, Devin sees it totally differently, but I do not like Obama at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like every president we've ever had, though, has promised a lot and delivered a little.
Yeah. It's usually how it goes, though, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I can't honestly say any president I liked, you know, until you get way before I was born. And that's because history, yeah. And that's because history beautified them.
Yeah.
You know?
If I had it my way, I'd probably vote for, you know, what's his name? Ben
Carson?
The black one. Ben Carson. Yeah. Maybe Cruz or Rubio. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely would not like Hillary.
Yeah.
She's a liar.
Yeah.
And Bernie just seems like he wants to make everything free.
Yeah.
And not tell everyone that it comes with a price, too.
Yeah, Bernie's just short of actually just saying socialism.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like if yeah. I don't call it that, then they won't think anything of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So
let's raise minimum wage, and that won't have any effect on anything whatsoever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, do you think they should raise minimum wage?
Definitely not.
Okay. Now, why is that?
I believe that a lot of people that had incentive to go to college won't have incentive to go anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are okay with the fact that they can work for, you know, 2 minimum wage jobs as it is right now. Imagine if you up the minimum wage by double what it is now, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think about all the mom and pop businesses that pay close to minimum wage, because honestly nobody pays minimum wage. Almost nobody. Like if you look at McDonald's, they're paying above it, and Burger, you know, Walmart,
yeah, yeah.
They're all paying above it. But here's the thing, like I think of the mom and pop local stores or local businesses that, okay, minimum wage goes up to $15 an hour, can they afford their employees anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
they got to replace it. That's exactly what I saw on a mm-hmm. you know, speech on one of the debates. They said, I mean, if you're gonna raise it, you're gonna start seeing people getting replaced by machines.
Yeah, well, I mean, like honestly, I think Walmart and McDonald's and, you know, they could probably afford a $15 minimum wage because they're big companies. But
yeah,
I'm talking about the corner burger stand or, you know, or the local bar.
Yeah, you know, like that, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's been around since the 30s and 40s and has a local reputation. But
yeah.
Now the 6 people that work there have to get paid $15 an hour each.
Yeah,
for sure. Know? When most of the time, if you think about it, the owners don't get that because they're throwing all the money right back in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sure. So yeah, I mean, but, I mean, if, you know, if you think about it, it's, you know, like the political awareness is more and more coming from bands like Fane. So, yeah. So how do you, when you are writing the music and the lyrics, how do you temper that with, you know, with the landscape that is out there versus what you're fans see? Because, you know, you know, you're in a position where you could influence.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really know if this is a really right way to answer it, but I would say, you know, obviously from the answers I've given you, I'd look more of a Republican. And I know for a fact, just being around this scene for so long, most of the people that listen to my music are more liberal. So when we approach, you know, stuff like this lyrically, we want to make, like, I guess what I would say is, you know, kind of approach it in a way that everyone can understand, and it's not like, hey, we're, you know, vote for Trump, you know what I'm saying, something like that. We just try to make it into something that everyone else, you know, when they hear it or listen to it, read the lyrics, you know, they relate to what, you want them to see what you see, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, in a way, it's education, too, because especially if your core audience is on the opposite end of the spectrum as you, you're mm-hmm. giving them an opportunity to see what, you know, what a difference of opinion is. I mean, whether they take it or not is up to them, but they'll appreciate it nonetheless because they are fans of the music.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like I'm a closet Elton John fan, but I don't agree with a lot of his politics. You know, well, like how he talks about, like, you know, like free healthcare, things like that. I mean, I don't agree with some of the things he says, but I still love Yellow Brick Road. Mm-hmm. You know, sure. You know, and you just separate, sure. You just separate the man from the, you know, from his beliefs, you know, because he, yeah. Because it comes down to the art.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's exactly how I see it. I mean, I don't want to have, that's how I mean, when I listened to Molotov Solution, I mean, they took political approaches, but they didn't do it. You know, we talked about, you know, more of the presidential stuff going on and, you know, like, like public shootings and stuff like that. What they did is, I remember one of the main songs that I liked by them is he talked about, like, Hitler. And I mean, you know, that's something that, you know, any band could talk about and everyone would, you know, jump on board with that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people don't realize Hitler was voted in.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he did not take power. It was given to him and then he took everything else.
Yeah.
So.
But he just, like, in the lyrics, he just quickly pretty much just describes his rise to power and what he did. Mm-hmm. And I love their approach to it. And I told Devin, you know, I was like, if you want to do this whole New World Order thing, you know, that's a lot. You should take, that's something to take influence from, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now, what do you, now personally, just from your point of view, what do you think is the most influential song on the album and why?
Influential, probably the title track, just because it has more of the production and I guess it tells more of a story. That's one of the songs that we put more of the production into. My personal favorite would probably be either that outro or Intent.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know how to, like, I'm not someone that knows all my scales and theory and all that yet. And on our single Decay, we have a huge solo on there, and it's a bunch of shredding. And actually, that's one of the few parts that I did not write. And don't know how to write the solo on that, but on our outro on the CD, I actually went for it for the first time ever, and I think I kind of pulled it off, so I was, like, really excited about that.
It's one of those happy little accidents, in a way.
Yeah, I also like being able to, you know, finally being able to record something that's not just straight distorted guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, chugging.
Yeah, yeah, because that does, I mean, I'm a metalhead myself, man. I mean, I like everything, like, from old school, like, you know, Maiden and all that other stuff, and, you know, and I like the newer stuff, like what you guys are doing and stuff, but yeah, I mean, it's about time to see some artists in that genre, like, you know, like, start venturing out.
Yeah, and that's when I was growing up, when I started getting into metal, I realized that a lot of the bands made a habit of doing that. It was more of the metalcore bands, but they would always have an outro or an interlude or something, and they would always try to, you know, like, make it mellow or, you know, clean guitar or something different than the rest of the CD. And I kind of, you know, I kind of wanted to keep that idea with my music when I wrote a CD.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on our interlude Exile, we have, like, Paul Harvey talking, and that just has, like, some production behind it, and I thought that was really cool. And
yeah.
Then, of course, the outro that we wrote, that was all, like, tons of reverb and delay and clean guitar, and that's why I had so much fun with that one.
Yeah, because it gives room for experimentation.
Yeah, it helps me with writing in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that since you guys are looking for three other people to be in the band, and with your natural progression that you're describing now, how different do you think Fane's going to sound the next time around when it comes out with its second album?
Well, I always have high standards for progression as far as from one CD to the next. I'm not going to release anything that's not, you know, something that I feel should be released, I guess. I have really high standards. I feel like it would be, you know, if not more from a step up from False Hope, it'd be a few steps up from NWO. Because when we were at NWO, you know, I did the same thing there. I also said, you know, I want this CD to be twice as good as the first one. If not, we're not releasing it. And, you know, I just want to keep doing that with everything. I want to keep progressing. I don't want it to sound the same. And I know with new members, it's going to be harder finding them because I already told Devin that I want people with, you know, I want them to be playing clicks. I want a mixer live.
Mm-hmm.
I want everything to sound just like it does on the CD.
Which is even harder.
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of, lot of these people asking to play, you know, thinking they're just going to come over and just, you know, do it by ear. But I'm trying to get, like, you know, all of the technical shit in there now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're doing, too, is even harder to replicate live just by default because, I mean, you've got to be tight. I mean, yeah. You know, new metal, you know, and well, all metal, I would actually say, even the old mainstream stuff from the 80s and 90s, man, I mean, the band's got to be tight. I mean, they got to be note for note tight.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I mean, have you ever heard a metal band that, like, sounds loose? I mean, it sounds like absolute dog shit because we're, you know, everybody's off.
Yeah,
you know, so
we, and I know, especially in the metal scene, eyes are more on you when you're playing heavy stuff and you have a bunch of production in your music. You know, a lot of people don't like that in heavy stuff, but you know, and then like I said, you know, this is me, not everyone else, but I want to be able to produce the exact sound on that CD live. I don't want it to sound, you know, like a studio band, like we're this live and then we're a garage band when you see us. So I'm, you know, as a drummer, we need someone that's willing to get or has a mixer, you know, we need clicks, we need all of that stuff going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then sometimes that's the only way to do it, to replicate the sound that you want.
Yeah.
So what does Fane have coming up? I mean, I know you guys are looking for new guys, but do you see that wrapping up soon and then you guys going out on a tour or something? Or
well, right now I'm writing stuff. We're trying to come up with ideas for the next CD. We're trying not to take it near as long as we did last time releasing new stuff this time around. but we do not have anything, like any dates booked or anything yet. Honestly, right now, our next step, as I told Devin, was really just pressing the whole member thing and looking around so we can hurry up and book a tour. Because I really wanted to tour with this album.
Yep, and I don't think it's too late. I mean, you know, I mean, I think the thing you don't want to do is rush it, though. You want to get the right people together.
Yeah, I want to make sure we're top-notch when we go. I want to look like a, you know, like a signed band when we go out.
Yep, exactly. So where can we find Fane online?
Online, we are on iTunes, we're on Bandcamp, and we are on Big Cartel for merch.
Nice, nice. Well, thanks, Trevor, for being on the show today, man. I really appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir.